Blog Talk Radio.
Wins.
Losses.
Shutouts.
Shootouts.
Forehand.
Five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI. Now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
It is time for Pittsburgh Penguin Hockey Talk here on the Pens and Share Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. I am your host, Mike Ospie, and the last few weeks, the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of owned the headlines, so we did some Pittsburgh Sports Initiative podcasting and brought you the radio gold about the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've now been eliminated as their postseason run, and the asinine drama that has surrounded that team the last month or so comes to a close. I'm sure still, though, more will get there towards the draft and other things in the offseason. The NFL is a full calendar year covered sport. But the Pittsburgh Penguins now are back, front and center, on the headlines here in Pittsburgh, at least, well, until the summer. But mostly it'll be a Penguin town now, getting towards the All-Star break, getting towards the postseason run, and then in the playoffs or the Stanley Cup playoffs, and see what goes on there. And the Penguins are polarizing in and of themselves. So with the Steelers out of the way with the postseason division round loss to the Denver Broncos, it is now about the Pittsburgh Penguins. And for this broadcast of Radio Gold, I will bring a new guest on to the Radio PI hotline and the Penn Station Airwaves, and that'll be Daniel Friedman, covers the New York Islanders, a columnist with WFAN-CBS New York, as we will talk some Penguin hockey, his outside credentials perspective on the Pittsburgh Penguins, the team he does cover, the New York Islanders, what they will mean to the Eastern Conference, and we're also going to get into the drama and the ridiculousness, at least from my view, of the John Scott saga and the NHL All-Star game. And I see he's already on the line, so instead of taking one break before him, we're going to do it afterwards, and I am going to bring on my guest, Daniel Friedman, hockey columnist for WFAN-CBS New York. Will now join us here on the Radio PI Hotline and the Pennsylvania Airwaves. Daniel, welcome to the show. Appreciate you coming on with me. And before we get underway here, I just wanted to clarify, you go by Daniel or Dan? Because I know I'm pretty strict in going by Mike, but people are particular in that. Are you Daniel or are you Dan?
Either works. You can call me Dan if you want.
Okay. Because I was telling somebody recently that, at least for me, I go by Mike, but my family calls me Michael for whatever reason. And I just feel that unless you're Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, Michael Strahan, or 12 years old or younger, you should pretty much be Mike. I'm definitely Mike, but I'll give you Dan if you want to be Dan or Daniel. So Daniel or Dan. Before we get into the Penguins, before we get into even the team you're covering, the Islanders and the NHL and what's going on the ice, I do want to touch on something that has been one of those asinine dramas that I normally love, but kind of been annoying, and that is John Scott versus the NHL All-Star Game, basically. And the NHL is now caved, and he's going to be a part of the NHL All-Star Game. And it originally was this fueled campaign by Puck Daddy, I believe, on what may or may not have been a joke article that kind of then caught steam and got him the votes and got him to be captain in the NHL All-Star Game. The Coyotes and the NHL, there's people who believe, and they kind of colluded to get him out of there. There was a trade. He was sent down. Then that created this backlash of fans thinking it wasn't fair to screw him out of the money, and then we voted him in, whether he's deserving or not. You got to put him there. What does our vote matter if you're just going to do a manipulation tactic to get him out of there if you don't believe the guy's stats warrant it? First off, where do you stand on John Scott and the All-Star game, if he should be there, if the NHL acted in an incorrect and improper manner to try to get him out of there, and if they did the right thing by eventually caving, and if the entire campaign was a joke that you didn't really want to see, or maybe something that you didn't mind and you're kind of enjoying.
Well, you know, I would say it's one of those things that, you know, it's funny how it kind of evolved, because, you know, I originally, when I heard that people were stuffing the ballots for John Scott, I said, this is, you know, if we're just slowly, it's kind of like you have the man dying on the table, and you just take a knife and you just stab it. I mean, if the All-Star game is on its deathbed, you know, we are doing a great job of killing it, I think. You know, it's one of those things, and maybe it's out of a desperation because we've grown tired of the All-Star game. Maybe it's going to fail to us, and this is our way of kind of trying to have some fun with it again. But, you know, as far as the spectacle goes, I think, it, you know, as much as, you know, we want to see something different, you know, this is not the different we need. So I think, you know, it was kind of a bad idea. But, you know, we ran with it, and I never wanted to see John Scott in the game until the NHL orchestrated this. And, you know, this is a guy who's making maybe $500,000 this year about, you know, he's not guaranteed to play in the NHL next season. The winners in the All-Star game, they split, I think, 11 ways. And, you know, it's $90,000 for a guy like John Scott. That's a big deal. So now all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about, you know, the NHL taking away a possible source of money or of income for this player. He was voted in, you know, through the process that the NHL instituted. And I kind of thought this was, you know, and they'll never go out and say that he was included in trade to kind of get rid of him from the game. But, you know, there's something fishy here. And, you know, there was some sort of involvement. And if it's up to the NHL, that, you know, they never mentioned him, you know, when he was selected in the game, they never mentioned it. They could have taken this story and made it a good story, ran with it. There was no mention of it. There was no press about it. You know, the league obviously didn't want to touch it. And I think the way they went about it, now that they had it on their hands, is wrong. And obviously they did the only thing that they could do after the PR nightmare that, you know, that transpired after he was, you know, after it was announced he wasn't going to be in the game, and they put him back in, which was frankly the only move they could make at that point, because they looked terrible after that, you know. And so I'm glad that it was resolved. It's unfortunate that it took what it took to resolve it. And, you know, maybe the NHL needs to think twice about how players are voted in or in this, what selection process is next time around.
Well, in every All-Star game, for all the professional sports out there, when you give so much ability for the fans to vote players in, you do allow for this to go on. And there have been, in Major League Baseball, there was a year where Ken Griffey Jr. got voted in as a starter, and he was already injured and was going to miss the rest of the season, and they let him wave to the fans. And you know somebody's going to replace him there, but he's a name recognition Hall of Fame player, so they're going to give him the DAP. There's been in every sport where there's been players that were having down years for their normal ability that get put in an All-Star game, that just because they're known, and they are a former All-Star, so the casual
right.
fan knows who they are, and they vote him in. And maybe this year, people who cover the team know this wasn't the year they should be there, but let's go ahead and let him go anyway. This was a little bit different, though, because you do see comments like that from people who cover the other sports and fans of other sports who aren't fans of hockey, saying, well, if you let Cal Ripken and Kobe go to All-Star games and start when they weren't really good anymore in their last years, why not John Scott? It's not the same animal. This really was bloggers and trolls were making a mockery of the All-Star game a little bit initially on the voting for John Scott. One assist in 11 games. There was nobody who knows anything about hockey that would have claimed this was an All-Star reasonable spread. It wasn't even somebody that you really could be entertained by or want to see or have the fans celebrate one last time, even to honor him. It was originally a mockery type of thing. And I do agree with you, though, even though I never wanted to see John Scott in the All-Star game and thought it was absurd, the NHL made him a supported figure by even the guys who didn't want to support the campaign because of the way they handled it. The Coyotes and the NHL went pretty douchebag, in for lack of a better description, in trying to get him out of there and really almost embarrassing the guy, and the money aspect is the main goal there. Now, I'm sure this would have not have been possible with the NHLPA and the league and anything like that, but I would have liked to have seen a way if you can speak on this, some type of way, if there was any way to get him some more money or some incentive, or even maybe you give him the money that he would earn in his contract by getting the All-Star start, because he did earn that, and then you don't have him go to the game because of the trade, because it was working on where you were playing and what team and division you were in. Is there any loophole that could have been used? The NHL could have better said, okay, we're not going to screw this guy. We're going to give him the money. We're going to still say he was there, but we know it was a mockery and kind of an embarrassing campaign. So because of the trade that you can't say was illegal, even if it was done in the little bit of a mean way, then that will mean he can't captain the team. Maybe you let him go to the game but not be the captain and he still gets the money. Was there any loophole that could have been done in a better way that you could have seen? Or was they almost forced that if they didn't want him there, they had to go in the negative direction they went?
Yeah, I don't think there's any loophole that could have done. I think they tried. You know, the minute he was traded, the NHL threw up their hands and said, well, he's not in the conference anymore. He's in the AHL, so he can't play. And, you know, that's the only loophole you need if you think about it. I mean, he's not in the Western Conference. He can't captain the Western Conference. He's not in the NHL. He can't play in the NHL All-Star game. And what else do you need? The bottom line is that this is going to be a PR fiasco, because the one thing that matters here is that the fans voted him in. And the NHL, there's a lot of people who were disrespected and who were told to F off, for lack of a better term. And, you know, and John Scott is certainly one of them. He is the victim here. And, you know, it's so funny how we turn around. There were times where John Scott would have really ugly hit, and we would hate John Scott. Now all of a sudden we love him. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are human at the end of the day. But, you know, it's also the fans. The fans were basically told, you know, like, your vote doesn't matter really, because, mm-hmm. you know, even though this was your desire, you know, we don't really care what you want. And, you know, that, so as long as that was going to happen, you know, there is no loophole that solves that. So I think the only thing the NHL could have done at that point was put Scott back in the game like the fans wanted. And that's what happened.
It does appear the NHL basically caved because of a backlash, and the bloggers and trolls defeated the National Hockey League. That's really what it almost appears, which does send you down, Dan. It does send you down a slippery slope now. That
a little, but
even
it really depends on what you do. You know, something like a silly All-Star vote, I feel like, okay, that's an area where you can cave if you're the NHL. You know, obviously there are other things that, you know, have much bigger business, consequences and ramifications, and, you know, that, you know, you have to draw that line, and I'm pretty sure the NHL does know how to draw that line. You know, I think we've seen Gary Bettman. No, you know, he when he has an idea, he wants something done, they generally do it. You know, so I think, you know, there are lots of things that people wish the NHL changed, and a lot of them aren't changing. So I think the NHL understands where to draw the line. But, you know, this is something that, you know, again, that the NHL had no choice. You know, and it was, you know, an easy fix. It was a fix that they probably didn't want to do, but that they can stomach.
Well, yeah, they had to. They pretty much were pegged in the round hole to get John Scott back in there. And it is a dying All-Star game in comparison to all the All-Star games that also are all really not having their best go of it the last decade or so. And the NHL has done some good things. I mean, they're the one sport that sometimes if there's controversy over a rule, they change the rule in the middle of a postseason series. Some may not like that, but some others complain other sports that why do we have to wait an entire year or 2 years even sometimes to get replay or rules in when you know there's controversy. The NHL, right away, sometimes they're right on the forefront of things like that. They don't get credit for it. But what would you like to see in terms of the future? Because even though in all sports there are guys that get All-Star bids by a fan vote that don't deserve it, and we just put up with it, whether it be they're retiring or they used to be there or the casual fan knows them, and guys like us just say, whatever, it's an All-Star game. You're basically not going to fight the world on this one. But is there anything now the NHL you'd like to see do? Because this sets a slippery slope and a precedent now that if the fans, the trolls, and the bloggers want to put a goon in there every year to say you're a garage league and we're upset at you and we're going to basically try to handcuff you and embarrass you, they can't allow this to go on forever. So now they're running the risk of this happening again. Is there anything you feel they can do, whether it be decrease the percentage of the fan vote and say the fan vote is now 75% of the starters, but we now can basically trump it, or have our own influence, or anything you'd like to see happen to avoid this again, because the NHL now does have the slippery slope. This could go on every year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think the solution is pretty simple, actually, and I think there's a way to maintain the fan vote and have the results that you want. You know, I think, you know, this is not something that's necessarily so popular, but you, if you limit the amount of, you know, if you limit the players and you determine which players from each team are eligible for the vote, and you don't open it up to every player on the roster, and that's not going to be easy, and you're going to have some snubs, and maybe there's a way for the NHL to, you know, recognize that some of the big snubs and put it in midway through the process or whatever it may be. But, you know, if there's a way to do that, and so the fans are picking from a pool of players that are all, you know, worthy of being in that vote, then maybe, you know, you have better results. I think that might be a way that works for everybody. You know, the funny thing here is, and I just want to touch on this in a second, you know, everyone's talking about this whole John Scott thing. And you know, I think the bigger story, or at least it should be, is the fact that Sidney Crosby never plays. You know, and here you got the guy, he's the face of the league. You know, he is supposed to be everything the NHL is all about. And this guy never plays in the game. And how that doesn't happen, you know, I don't care about the injuries or whatever. It's a vacation. You know, Sid's got to go. You know, he has to be there. It would be like Michael Jordan not showing up at the NBA All-Star Game every year. Or, you know, it's a joke. I mean, how that happens to me, you know, and we're all talking about John Scott, you know, I think that's a much bigger issue for the NHL.
John Scott's getting the attention. He is getting the attention. He is absolutely getting his fanfare. This is 15 minutes of fame for John Scott, so more power to him. We have radio shows everywhere, national or local, spending a chunk on John Scott. He got on there with SVP on SportsCenter. I mean, he is getting his dap. He absolutely is getting his love, so hopefully he soaks it up, and he's going to get his money either way, so good for him taking advantage of the trolling out there. Good for somebody to take advantage of trolling. He's benefiting from trolling.
Absolutely.
So why not? And you mentioned Crosby and not being in the All-Star game. And I guess it would be kind of – I mean, LeBron James goes to the All-Star game every year but doesn't do a dunk contest. That's the only closest current comparison. But he's at least in the All-Star game itself. And
right.
He goes through the dunk, doesn't actually do the dunk contest, but he'll at least sit there. So, yeah, that is unfortunate. A league that needs to market itself and do better at marketing itself and getting to market John Scott over Sidney Crosby isn't really necessarily best for business or best for anybody. But since you bring up Crosby, and we cover the Pittsburgh Penguins here on PensInitiative.com, I do want to get your perspective as somebody who covers the league and knows the league well and, of course, knows Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins. What your outside perspective is on the change from the Mike Johnston Pittsburgh Penguins of about a year and a quarter that had some disappointments, had a lot of pressure going in, and then eventually led to his unceremonious firing after the offseason moves they made didn't work out in the first month or so of the season, and now Mike Sullivan being the head coach for the Pittsburgh Penguins. You are seeing a turnaround in some guys' production, Crosby giving you a little bit more, Malkin still doing it, but Kessel's struggling, and the team is not really consistently winning still towards the back end of the Metropolitan Division. Have you, as an outsider credentialed in covering the league, noticed a change in the Penguins for better or for worse? What do you think is the reason they're still not getting wins? And is the Mike Sullivan era the way it's going now going to be something that can continue the way it is to get them in the playoffs and have success in the playoffs? Since the consistent wins are just not there. I was asked to give a grade about the Sullivan era in his first 10 games on a radio show as appearing in Pittsburgh, and I said B-, because I felt there was a significant improvement, but the wins are not there consistently, so how can I go higher? How do you, as an outsider covering the league, grade the Mike Sullivan era so far with the Penguins?
Yeah, you know, I think it's too early to really tell the type of impact that Sullivan's had. And I always looked at the Johnson firing and said, you know what, like maybe, you know, there were obviously things that he did that didn't, you know, and obviously the players weren't necessarily buying into what he was selling. But, you know, I always felt that the Penguins struggling had a lot more to do with, you know, you have to remember the start. Sidney Crosby didn't have the best start to his season. Phil Kessel still hasn't really started his season. You know, you have certain players who needed to pick up. Patrick Hornquist has had a down year. You know, David Perron didn't work out quite the way they wanted to. Maybe Carl Hagelin will, will play a little better. You know, they had, you know, this team has some troubles, and even in the offseason, I looked at, you know, all the acquisitions and I said, man, this team has a lot of offense, but I just don't see any defense here. You know, I feel like this team is going to score 5 goals in one night and then give up 6 the next night. And, you know, I saw a team that was built to be inconsistent, quite frankly. And I think that's what we're seeing. You know, on some nights, you know, they really have it going when they're controlling the puck. Sure, they'll pump in a bunch of goals and Fleury will make some saves like he needs to. But then there are some nights where the puck's not necessarily going their way. And the other team is going to take full advantage of the fact that their defense is paper thin. And, you know, I don't think you really have a model for success there other than, you know, with the exception of a few players. So I think that's their biggest issue, really. You know, I don't look at the Penguins as a very good defensive team. And I think, you know, that doesn't bode well for, you know, I think they'll make the playoffs. I think they are a playoff team, especially, you know, you look at the East. It's not that tough to get in. I think they'll get in. But I don't look at this team as ready to do any sort of damage, really, because I just don't see the defense. I don't see the structure. You know, I see Sidney Crosby starting to take over games, which, you know, you knew it was only a matter of time. Like you said, Malkin's playing well, but you can only go so far with just, you know, just riding Crosby and Malkin, you know. And, you know, you need more than that. I think the Penguins need to really reevaluate, maybe make some moves to bolster, particularly the defense, because that's going to be a big issue for them.
And the entire plan of the offseason was, and the last few offseasons really, has been, we don't want to just ride Malkin and Crosby, regardless of what production they're giving. You don't want to just have two guys, even if they're the best in the world, driving the ship. And they added some pieces, but they haven't been what they thought they would. So are you kind of basically saying that regardless of Mike Johnson or Mike Sullivan or whoever is the head coach of this team, that structurally, the way that they're built, barring a trade acquisition, they're just not built on their roster for anybody, even Scotty Bowman, to be able to consistently get this team to be a championship caliber?
Well, I mean, it depends. Obviously, you have coaches who can come in and take a defense that's maybe not as good, but with the sum of its parts. But you can put in place a system, you know, where as a collective group they play well. But I don't see Mike Johnson. I don't see Mike Sullivan, you know, as those kind of coaches necessarily. You know, I think if Babcock came in, I think he'd maybe get this team a little bit better than it is. But yeah, I think in general, it's the way the team is built. I think you have to look at the general manager a little bit. And, you know, I get why they went out and got Phil Kessel, but, you know, I think, you know, they needed to pay a little attention to the back end, and that is a glaring issue, you know, and unless they solve it, I don't see them going anywhere right now.
Okay. And from what you've heard in hockey circles around New York or even around the league, and even maybe some players that you've maybe heard some grumblings with the Islanders or any other team that you might have been around, have you noticed that there is a change in the perception of those players with the Penguins, meaning that they're not necessarily scared of worrying about Crosby Malkin like they might have been 5 years ago? What is the talk of the other players and even media and the locker rooms you've been around the league, obviously you've been around the Islanders and maybe some others, in the perception of the Penguins by the outside world away from Pittsburgh? Has that changed?
Well, I mean, the perception of Crosby and Malkin hasn't changed. You know, and you talk to the players, and they know that it's a test. Whenever 87 or 71 are on the ice, if you're a defenseman, that you're in for a long night, you know, no matter what, because those are two of the best players in the world, and that's a tough assignment. And that hasn't changed, but I think there is some sort of perception where, you know, your stomach used to drop. You're like, oh no, we have the Penguins tonight. That's. I don't think that's really considered that. I think if you look at that on the schedule, it's a winnable game now. You know, and it used to not necessarily be the case. You know, you used to look at that and say, you know, we're really in for it tonight. And you know, I don't think the Penguins necessarily scare so many people right now because they are so inconsistent. And you know, I think, yeah, certainly the Kessel hype has died down a little bit. You know, when it first happened, that's all everyone was talking about. His offense is going to be so dangerous. How are you going to stop him? You know, it hasn't been that difficult. So I think now that the balloon is kind of deflated a little bit, you know, I don't think the perception is like that. I don't think anyone is really concerned. You know, I think obviously they know they can't let their guard down. I don't think anybody's taking it for granted. You know, they're still, you know, a capable team, but I don't think anyone's looking at them the way they used to.
What is the perception currently, and has that changed, of Marc-Andre Fleury? Is Marc-Andre Fleury, because now in Pittsburgh, he's kind of believed to be the Penguins are going to only go as far as he takes you, and he's been the MVP of this team so far this year, and he's almost arguably an elite goaltender with the maturation process last few years. Has there been a change in perception of Fleury?
Well, you know, I think, again, and I'm a bad person to ask, I've always liked Marc-Andre Fleury, at least as far as his regular season performance. I've always felt that, you know, he'd do poorly in the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, you know, as we look at the preseason analysis, and everyone would talk about how Marc-Andre Fleury is not the answer, and he's not going to do well. And, you know, the regular season had never been his problem. He's almost always been stellar in the regular season. You know, and the last couple of playoffs, I think he's really gotten better. So, you know, I'm someone who looks to Marc-Andre Fleury as a goalie who can take them somewhere. You know, and I think the perception around the league is that Fleury is a good goaltender and he's tough to beat. You know, I think that there is a difference between what the players think and what the media tends to say about him. So,
sure.
You know, I think players know that Marc-Andre Fleury is good and you got to work hard to beat him. I don't think that's changed much.
Yeah, it's often that the media and the players in any sport aren't really always in a perfect harmony and their opinions. Getting away from the Penguins, though, you cover the New York Islanders. They're in the same division with the Penguins, same conference. The Islanders came into the season with some expectations and pressure as well. They've kind of building it up themselves with Tavares and company. How would you evaluate the New York Islanders' season so far, and how do you see the New York Islanders going towards the playoff stretch and the postseason as how dangerous they can be right now sitting behind the Rangers and Capitals but still towards the top of the Metropolitan Division?
Well, I think the Islanders are also a team that has, you know, obviously some pluses, but some definite concerns. You know, I look at them as a team that certainly, you know, I think the scoring has been down, but you're starting to see it pick up. You know, they have some young players, Ryan Strome, Brock Nelson, Anders Lee. Two of those players have at least been picking it up of late. Anders Lee is still... You know, just hasn't been able to find his game. John Tavares, I think, has had a down year, and I've been pretty critical of him. You know, I think the defense has played well, but they've taken hits lately because Johnny Boychuk and Travis Hamonic are hurt now. Yaroslav Halak and Thomas Greiss have been excellent in net. Surely you're familiar with Greiss. So, you know, there are some definite pluses and minuses, and I think it's tough for them to find that consistency because, you know, you never know which Islanders team is really going to show up, and I think that's something that they certainly have to work on. I don't think it's necessarily something that has to come from an outside acquisition, but certainly, we've grown tired of hearing this, but it is a maturation process, especially for younger players. You kind of need to have them be more consistent, you know, and certainly the strength of the Islanders is their offense when it gets going. So if the Islanders, you know, they've got a tough task ahead because the Rangers are not an easy, they're not going to be an easy out in seven games if they end up playing them. Certainly the Capitals, I don't think anyone's catching them. So, you know, the Islanders, they've done all right, but I think there's still a lot of work to do.
Are you calling for the New York sports fan to be patient with the maturation process of the budding New York Islanders? I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know if it's possible, but I am calling for it.
Well, keep fighting the good fight. I try to do the same, but asking for logic and rationale and patience from the sports fan just does not really exist anymore, really anywhere in 2016. Is there anyone? Because you mentioned you don't think it's from an outside source, but is there anyone of the outside sources, meaning from a trade acquisition, that you think could be added, that you're targeting, that could bolster this Islanders team? Or even I'll simply ask you, what is the one facet, because you mentioned defense with the Penguins, what is the one facet the Islanders, if they're going to try to trade for somebody to make an impact, that needs to be improved? What's that one facet that if you're going to trade for somebody, you're going to trade for this guy?
Well, you know, I would say it's coaching, but that's something that they can't. That okay. At this point, they're not going to resolve. But if you have something, you know, and again, I think the Islanders could survive with this offense because I really do believe the pieces that they have are capable of it. But if you're going to rectify it at least short term, then yeah, I think it's in their best interest to go out and maybe get a winger. And this is something I have written, you know, that written isn't necessary. I have, you know, extensively defended the young players on the team, but you know, if there is one thing you're going to trade for right now, you know, yeah, go out and, you know, apparently Edmonton is having a fire sale on forwards. You know what? Go out and see what they're interested in. You know, if Travis Hamonic is a good fit there, we know he's asked for a trade, and they're going to give you someone like Jordan Eberle, then find a way to make something work because you know that's certainly, you know, you have to maximize the return there. You know, certainly maybe a puck moving defenseman would also be nice if Johnny Boychuk is out. Maybe you don't pay too much, but maybe you go out and get Dustin Byfuglien, something like that. You know, I don't think this Islanders team is really built for a big run right now. So unless there's a deal out there that really makes a ton of sense and you're not going to give up too much and lose the guy in the short term, then I'm not sure that there's something that's, you know, a must get right now.
And the trick is with those type of deals to know when your team is ready to make a deal like that. The criticism of maybe past Penguin general managers, and you can go to Shiro and even now with Jim Rutherford, is they've always been making those type of deals in the last 5 or 6 years, and maybe they weren't always ready to do so, and then you do mortgage a lot when you make those type of deals. So it is making sure your team can make that run, not just making a deal for deal's sake to get a splash in the headline.
Absolutely. If you're not ready for that kind of thing, then, you know, I know everyone likes the slashing move, but, you know, if you're just going to lose in the first round but lose more impressively, you know, that's not the time to pull the trigger. You know, you bring up Shiro. I mean, like, it was a couple of years ago, I think they played the Islanders in the first round, the Penguins. That was the year where they went all in. And, you know, it seemed like they did have the team to make a run there. You know, I really did think that they would. So I was a little surprised myself that they flamed out. But, you know, sometimes they've done it where it hasn't. And sometimes they've done it and you said, well, why is that the player they're going out and getting? So, you know, it's a very tricky process. You know, the Islanders, they went out and they swung to the fences of Thomas Vanek in the year where they didn't even make the playoffs. So you really have to know when's the right time to swing the deal for sure.
And you look to the deal of deals really in the last 10 years when the Penguins brought in Marian Hossa. Without that deal, they probably don't go to the Cup Final that year. And I know
Absolutely.
He left and then went to the Red Wings, and that was the team they faced the next year in the Cup Final. But Marian Hossa is a very underrated driving force mid-season trade acquisition deal that really helped the franchise. And they didn't know they weren't going to be able to re-sign him and how absurd that would later get. But
that particular deal,
I think, was still worth it at the time.
Not only that, going to the Stanley Cup Finals and losing taught them how to win it the next year. So, you know, you have to keep that in mind, too. It kind of was the gift that kept on giving, even if Hossa left. You know, the rest of the players in the roster gained that invaluable experience and figure out how to win the next time. So, you know, they have to factor that in, too. It was huge for them.
And during that cup run, Hossa in the playoffs was arguably the best player on the Penguins. So without him, they probably don't get there that first year. Looking around the league here, I'm talking with Daniel Friedman of WFAN CBS New York, covering the New York Islanders. Looking around the entire Eastern Conference and even the league, everyone's probably going to go with the Washington Capitals with what Ovechkin's doing and what they've done in the offseason and now how their team is built and how they're playing. Who are your front runners? Who are your teams to beat? Is it the Capitals in the East? Is it somebody else? And then who is that team in the Western Conference that you're figuring, or when in doubt, I'm gonna pick this squad?
Oh, well, in the East, it's definitely the Washington Capitals. You know, I don't see any real front runner out of the Atlantic right now. I think in the Metro, the Washington Capitals. Maybe the Rangers can get their act together. Maybe the Rangers can contend. But I think the Capitals, they're just so complete. They're so well coached. So they're so balanced. You know, Braden Holtby has been phenomenal. You know, Ovechkin and Backstrom are firing on cylinders. They're getting contributions from guys like Marcus Johansson and TJ Oshie, and of getting Kuznetsov is taking a giant leap forward. I mean, that team just has, I don't think they have any flaws, honestly. I think that team really could win the Stanley Cup this year. You know, out of the West, I mean, it's the usual suspects, really. You know, I never really was on the Dallas hype train. The Dallas Stars, I think, you know, their offense is great. I think they are a slightly better version of the Pittsburgh Penguins in some ways, where they are, you know, they're fantastic offensively, and their defense is, you know, it's there's John Klingberg, and there's not much else. You know, and John Klingberg isn't exactly good defensively yet either, so he just put the points. Alex Goligoski's okay, you know, but they haven't really gotten the goaltending. So it's, you know, to me it's Chicago. They've figured it out. You know, Patrick Kane, obviously, you know what he's done this year. Artemi Panarin, you know, it's a team that also just finds ways. They lose guys, and they just find ways to replace them. You know, they let go of Brandon Saad, and in comes Artemi Panarin. He's even better than Brandon Saad. You know where they find these guys, I'll never know. But that's an organization that really gets it. And Los Angeles also, I think, is right back in the mix. You know, we laugh at them for going and getting Vinny LeCavalier, and Vinny LeCavalier put the 4 points in 6 games. You know, his first 6 games as a king. So, you know, I didn't mind that trade out. Anyway, I thought that was a good, you know, was a very minimal risk trade to go get a guy who has, you know, who does have a history and has performed in the past. Maybe you just need an extra motivation to play for a contender. And I think that's what we're seeing so far. So I think you have to look at Chicago out in L.A. in the West.
Chicago Blackhawks pretty much are the New England Patriots of the NHL, where they just plug anybody in, and you never heard of them before. They plug them in, put a jersey on, and all of a sudden they're turning it on, and the team just wins when nobody thinks they're going to. You think the era and dynasty's over, and they just refuse, and something always works out and clicks for them, and they're always a contender. Nobody ever wants to play them in a postseason series because you know that more often than not you're going to lose, and they have the championship pedigree to show for, too, since 2010. So
hopefully they don't cheat as much. But.
Well, maybe, yeah. Hopefully there's not as much outside scandal that goes on with them, but there's enough intrigue, too, and there's been some scandal themselves that they've been able to get over with Patrick Kane. So, yeah, they're definitely a team to watch out for, and the Capitals, I think, are that team everyone's picking in the East. But the only real concern with them, because on paper they have no holes, the only concern with them is they haven't yet done it. Ovechkin's not yet done it. And last year I did feel like the window was open for him and the path was there to have that be, at the very minimum, his conference finals appearance. Didn't even get that last year. So the concern is that when the roster's there, they've still not got over the second-round hump. Nothing's assured, but they are the best team.
Well, and last year's team was – I think that was the moment where you realize, okay, this team is probably going to be extremely dangerous next season. You know, I remember covering that series – and just looking at the Capitals, the running game, and let's be fair to them. The Rangers, had a pretty good team too last year. That wasn't an easy team to beat, I don't think there's much shame in losing the Rangers just the way they did. Certainly, it was a very close series. Even though the wins were kind of distributed in a lopsided way, I think it was more of a result of the fact you just had two very even teams, and they both found a way to be dominant at different times. And I think once they went out and they kind of bolstered the team. Some acquisitions and, another year under Barry Trotz to kind of, really understand the system. I think you're just seeing, the maturation of Evgeny Kuznetsov, like I said before. I think you just knew this team was going to take a next step. So I think it's more of, of a future focus rather than a past one. There are, some of the similar faces, many of them, but, some of them are new ones. And I think this team is a different Capitals team. There's just something about them. They're more competitive. They're more resilient, certainly better coached than in the past. And I think that's a huge deal.
One thing the Capitals are doing that I noticed from the start of last year, this is a cliched phrase that some probably would hate hearing. The Capitals, in the last year or so, play quote-unquote playoff hockey. They didn't used to play playoff hockey. They were playing more of an entertaining hockey around Ovechkin 3-4-plus years ago, and that's why they always lost early in the playoffs. The reason why I picked them last year and this year again, they're the favorite, they play that playoff hockey. They play what you need to win a Stanley Cup. We talked about LeCavier going to the Kings and being another former Flyer that trying to lift a cup with the Kings, and they're getting a low risk, high reward from a former All Star who's been productive so far. You don't know what you're going to get going into the playoffs, but really, it was a deal that's working out for them so far, and probably will continue to do so. The one premier player that from the start of the season was in conversations that he could be traded because his contract was waning with Steven Stamkos. In his prime, a scoring champion, somebody who's on a Hall of Fame pace, somebody who can carry a team, be the face of the franchise. The Lightning went to a Cup Finals with him after a trade of a former captain. Stamkos is that star recognition player. What do you make as a guy who's in media in New York, not covering the Rangers, but in media in New York, of what's been going on with Stamkos, because there even has been some rumors that the Rangers were interested in Stamkos. And then if Stamkos is going to, whether or not he's already basically told the Lightning he's not going to stay, and if Toronto will get involved, and if they wanted to trade for him at one point, there were rumors, then they're just going to sign him in the offseason. They're always going to be involved. What are your thoughts on the soap opera, kind of underrated soap opera that's not got that much attention but is going on in media circles, of Stamkos?
I think, if he's going to the Rangers, the Rangers better come up with a lot of cap space very quickly because they don't really have it. So I don't think he's going to the Rangers. I don't think he's going to Toronto either. It's a really tough call if you're the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, because you feel like you have a team that can contend, but you can't let this guy walk for free. Like, it's not like some good second liner, that has value, and you're going for a run, and you say, okay, so if you lose him, you lose him. It's very tough, but, and normally you'd get something for him, but you got to make a run. This is Steven Stamkos. This guy could fetch, a lot. So, I think if you're Steve Yzerman, you know, no matter the circumstances. I think if Steven Stamkos' agent has basically told you he's not coming back, you have to trade this guy. You know, it's you know, better to stomach that now than let this guy walk for free. You know, you can't do that. I think the root of this really is, you know, I think it's quite simple. I think Steven Stamkos is hell-bent on being a center. I don't think he is a center. And I think John Cooper, who's the head coach of the Lightning, correctly identified that, you know, and did the one thing that a lot of previous coaches wouldn't do, and that was, and I think Steven Stamkos thinks he's going to be a center somewhere else. I think there's a philosophical divide there. I know I've heard, you know, from what I've heard in the rumblings, you know, other GMs don't necessarily view Steven Stamkos as a center either, so I'm not sure what his end game there is, but I think that's really where the divide started. And I think there's just too much going on now between these two teams. I think, you know, I really think if he was going to sign there, he would have signed there already. You know, that's something you typically get. You look at other stars, the way they've kind of locked things. Even Kopitar, you know, you heard, okay, there's back and forth. They're coming. They're figuring it out. Now they finally figured it out. And with Stamkos, all you hear is just, you know, static. And all you hear is just the two sides aren't talking. The two sides haven't moved. I mean, that's generally not a good sign. You know, we're already at 20th of January, and there's been no movement to anyone's knowledge. That's generally not a good sign. So I think, you know, it's best for the two sides to just move forward.
Steve Eisenman's had success, but he's been put in a tough spot since becoming GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning, with St. Louis requesting a trade and having to get something for him. And then now Stamkos, only a couple years later, not talking to you, but being such an intention grabber, middle of his prime premier player, and could garner so much, but you don't know that if you trade for him and get the value back to be mature because you think he's going to leave, and then maybe he would have stayed and you hear something else. I mean, because you're also on a contending team. This is not a team that's losing, that you just want to try to get something because you're not going anywhere even with him or without him. So yeah, it puts Steve Eisenman in a very, very tough spot for a GM that's had a lot of success so far and is a great hockey guy. Do you believe that if we go to the offseason and Stamkos has not been traded, the talks have not really continued, they have not strengthened, that there is any hope for the Lightning to re-sign him, or they're basically just screwed then? Because he has been there a long time, and they're still going to try to re-sign him from everything they're saying. There hasn't been talks yet, but it seems like the writing on the wall, if I had to bet any kind of money, that he's not going to go back there. Do you see any hope for them?
No, I think if he really wants to be a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning, he will get it done before then. And if he's letting it go till then that means he's willing to listen and go, you know, to any other offers. You know, I think, you know, the whole point of waiting till then would be because you want to look elsewhere. You know, that's you know, they always say, oh well, we'll keep it in mind, you know, when there's a chance. But really, you know, you better figure something out quick, because you know, unless there's suddenly a moment of, you know, unless you know, there's a revelation or Stamkos suddenly has a change of heart, I at that point, I don't think he's sticking around. I think he's going to the highest bidder or wherever he thinks is the best situation for him. So, you know, again, this is something that the more you wait till free agency, it's the tougher it's going to be.
If Stamkos is not traded and you do get to free agency, which is a significant possibility because of the value that you have to garner for him for a trade, and could be a lot for some teams, you mentioned you don't think the Rangers and the Leafs are viable in terms of trades. And I know the Rangers would have to work a lot in the cap, but it could just because they're that New York team, but they are just continuously in the rumors for Stamkos. Do you feel that if we get to the offseason and Stamkos is a free agent, the Rangers and Leafs will become the new favorites for Stamkos again? Or are those two teams just not the destination you see him going to for whatever reason?
No, I mean, unless the Rangers find a way to offload a lot of contracts, they're just not going. They simply aren't going to have the cap space for him. Certainly, they have the capital, you know. Certainly, they have the money to pay him, you know. But as far as the salary cap goes, they I don't think that they're going to be able to work that out. And Toronto, you know, maybe the idea of playing for Mike Babcock intrigues Steven Stamkos. Maybe, you know, the fact that they have some younger players coming in soon, Mitch Marner and Willie Nylander, who will both probably be on the team next year. So maybe that's, you know, enough of a sell. You know, I'm sure the Leafs will be in on him, but I don't think they're, you know, I don't think they're a lock to get him per se. You know, we see how many of these Ontario players do we see, and they say, oh, well, they're going to be Leafs, and they almost never end up, you know, how many of those are there on the Maple Leafs? You know, they usually don't end up going because, you know, either the Leafs haven't figured things out themselves or because other teams make better offers. You know, certainly the pressure of playing in Toronto, if you're, you know, if you're a Markham boy like Steven Stamkos is, you know, that would probably be a lot. And, you know, so some players like to stay away from that. I don't think it's a lock by any means.
Well, either way, if Stamkos would go to the Rangers or Leafs, that would be a heck of a lot different than when he was down in Tampa. I'll say that. He'd be putting his big boy pants on because that would no longer be go to the conference finals every now and then or go to cup finals once in 10 years and we're going to celebrate you. Either one of those two locations, even the Leafs who haven't even been to the cup finals in 67, there would be a lot of pressure with him coming there and coming home. And I'm sure you remember, too, how many years before anything even went down did the Leafs themselves as a franchise market Eric Lindros Leaf jerseys. I mean, it was like 5 years everyone was talking about him going to the Leafs eventually.
Right.
I mean, they were selling jerseys. People were wearing jerseys in games of Eric Lindros with the 88 Leafs, and you're like, he is not on this team, folks.
Right, and by the time he got there, he had a cane. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot of talk over nothing, you know. It's just the typical Toronto hype. You know, John Tavares has been the subject of it many times. You know, it's something that just it's endless, you know, drone on and on.
Is there any conversation in New York media about Stamkos? Because he's in the rumors for the Rangers, but what is kind of the talk of with the New York media of, is it just a pipe dream for the Rangers or validity to at least their interest, or is it media driven?
I think it's funny. It's usually not coming from New York because anytime it's talked about, it's usually just blast off immediately because you look at the Rangers and say, okay, no cap space. You know, any player that's paid more than $1 million right now, you know, there's certainly Stamkos and the type of money he's going to get. You know, you look at the Rangers and say, there's just no way they can swing it because they just don't have the cap space and they have, you know, a very tough situation with some of their defensemen who they have locked up right now. So, you know, I think it's just viewed as a non-starter for them, you know, and in any other circumstances, I think there would be a lot more hype, you know, if the Rangers had the cap space going into, you know, all the talk would be about how, you know, they need to go out and get him and they need to, but there's none of that because people are being realistic for a change.
But that is different then. that would definitely be different then. But it does make sense. The Rangers would have to do a lot of retinkering, a lot of retooling, and they would have to get in several meetings and figure things out if they were going to try to do this. Because, and I would figure if they were, they already had been doing it because I don't see how it would work with the salary cap either. Daniel, thanks for coming on the show. We'll have to have you on again as we get closer to the spring and the weather gets nicer over on the East Coast and get towards the postseason run again and maybe a matchup between the Penguins and Islanders again in the playoffs. How interesting that could be. But thanks for coming on the airwaves and enjoy. I don't know. Do you have snow out there? How's the weather where you are?
Not yet, but hopefully not soon. You know, they're predicting a snowmageddon over the weekend. But we'll see what happens. I just got back from Florida, so I'm hoping none.
Oh, okay. I feel so bad for you. Yes, you got back from Florida. They're predicting snowmageddon pretty much in another snow apocalypse all across the East Coast. And I don't know. We've had a very mild winter from what we normally
have.
So, yeah, and you too. Pretty much most of these have been very mild winter. I love not having to deal with the snow anybody. There were people out there that I knew that were complaining because they didn't have a Christmas vibe without the snow. I just told him, shut up, because you're going to get it eventually. And apparently it's coming this weekend, and I hear that too, but I'm going to cross my fingers and say a prayer or two, and maybe we'll avoid the snow yet again. But thanks for coming on the show, and nice talking to you, man.
Thanks. Take care.
Absolutely. Daniel Freeman of WFAN in New York, the CBS affiliate in New York, covering the New York Islanders, back after a break.
Radio PI.
Nothing on? You've got the Radio PI Podcast Network. Listen anywhere.
At work, at the gym, or on the go.
Never miss an episode. Available on Stitcher.com and iTunes.
The Radio PI Podcast Network.
PensInitiative.com, Radio PI, and the Radio PI Podcast Network are brought to you by our friends at Dejan Kovacevic's DK on PittsburghSports.com, featuring award-winning columnist Dejan Kovacevic and Josh Yowie.
Radio PI.
He is a columnist with Trib Total Media, the Rob Rossi.
I don't think the Penguins are playing well. I think they're winning. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can consider the Penguins a good team unless their best player is playing close to the standard that he set. Sidney Crosby has not been the same player since that puck hit his jaw.
Radio PI on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
How did Sid, Gino, Tanger, Flower, and Duper do this week? What do you think needs to be done differently? Discuss it on Radio PI.
Can I get a witness?
Part of the Radio PI Podcast Network.
Are you suffering from back pain, neck pain, or headaches that have appeared randomly, brought on by a sports injury, or began with too much stress from this Penn season? Then you need to contact Dr. Brent at Sheeler Chiropractic in Monroeville. Dr. Brent is the only certified sports chiropractor in all of Pittsburgh's east suburbs and has helped thousands of patients over the years with symptoms like headache, backache, neck pain, and more. So trust the only local chiropractor entrusted with helping Olympic athletes at Lake Placid and call him at 412-823-5710 or find him online at drbrentchiro.com.
Never miss a moment of breaking Penguins news and reports from the Pens Initiative. Follow along on Twitter,
Facebook,
Tumblr,
YouTube,
and www.pensinitiative.com.
The Radio PI Podcast Network.
Buckle up, baby! Are you kidding me?
The Radio PI Podcast Network.
Your source for all things Penguins.
It's Radio PI.
Let that NWO music simmer in the background. Back here on the Radio PI Podcast Network in the Pennsylvania Airwaves, I am Mike Osti, and this is another edition of Radio Gold here of Pittsburgh Penguins Hockey Talk for Pennsylvania and the Radio PI Podcast Network. This broadcast, well, as everything we do here on the airwaves, is made possible by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractics and DK on PittsburghSports.com. Just spoke with Daniel Freeman of WFAN in New York, a CBS affiliate covering the New York Islanders out there. Talked about the outside perception of Mike Sullivan and his brief tenure as head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. If the Penguins are different under Sullivan than Mike Johnston. Daniel kind of giving us the, yeah, a little bit, but not really, because it's the roster he doesn't have much confidence in, no matter who's the coach, and it's understandable. Talked about even what his thoughts are in the New York Islanders, a potential matchup rivalry of the Pittsburgh Penguins that's been building the last few years, a young team kind of mirroring what the Penguins were, say, 2008, 2009, with those back-to-back cup finals appearances going into that run. And if the Islanders could actually be that, because that's been the hype, but could it actually be that? Seems like Daniel's a little pessimistic on if that's going to be the case. And then some trade acquisitions, some trade bait out there. Steven Stamkos, the drama, and all the rumors about him being a New York Ranger, which makes no sense to me based on the salary cap. And luckily enough, somebody who's in the New York media also feels it makes no sense to Daniel Freeman of WFAN based on the salary cap. So, we even touched on John Scott and the All-Star game. But now I'm going to retouch
on John Scott in the All-Star game. Guys, I know the NHL is a garage league to some, and I can't even argue that. The NHL's discipline, the thuggery and goonery that goes on, how fighting in hockey went from a strategy to becoming MMA on the ice, how just last night there was a player in an AHL game, the hit that was laid on him and the impact of the hit and how he was laying there on the ice, it looked like he died, to be honest. He luckily did not, and we've not seen a death on the ice based on hits like this. We've seen serious injury. We've seen Todd Bertuzzi, Steve Moore, where his life was ruined despite a death not being the result. And that was even before where you got the attention of the NHL and the negative attention of them being what some would call a garage league, which does not have a positive connotation, by the way. And I know that you wanted to take this stand and you wanted to say, hey, we can rally the troops and most of the fans feel this way, so we're going to get a goon with one assist in 11 games who really shouldn't even be in the NHL, possibly, into this All-Star game to say, hey, your All-Star game, whether it be 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5, whatever, is just a farce and a mockery. Your league's a mockery. We don't like much. We don't like how the scoring's been diminished. We don't like how the referees are calling it. We don't like the punishments. We don't like the lack of marketing stars. We don't like some scandals. We don't like that they're not on the national networks enough. We're just pissed. The hockey fan doesn't like much going on in the NHL these days. And understandable. Okay, I'm a hockey fan. I know the sport. I'm also a fan of the other sports. I know those sports too. So I understand both ends of it. I understand you're not going to talk as much and market the sport as much and put it on networks like an ESPN or Fox Sports as much when the product's not with you. They all televise the game for the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball. They're not putting the NHL on. So what are they getting out of spending an hour and a half on a radio show talking about the NHL? And the interest in the country isn't there as much. So why would they do it? Even guys who know the sport and love the sport, why would they do it? If I had a radio show nationally on those two stations, I highly doubt, as somebody who knows the NHL really, really well and loves hockey, that I would sit there and say we're spending an hour and a half on hockey. I cannot imagine I'd do it unless I wanted to just sink my ship and get fired and be out of there soon. It wouldn't be smart. It wouldn't be a best for business, to take a phrase from wrestling, strategy or mentality. But I get your frustration. I do. And you took a stand, and quite frankly, the trolls, bloggers, and those type of strict hockey fans have been pissed for years. You got a win here. You defeated the National Hockey League. You got your way. You made a mockery of the event. You wanted a joke mockery of the event to put this goon on an All-Star team, make him the captain. They tried to mess with you. They tried to get manipulative and stop you from the win. But you got the win nonetheless. He's there. John Scott will be in the All-Star game, will be captaining in the All-Star game and getting all the attention and all the fanfare, making the NHL look bad, and you're looking good and you're loving it. You're soaking it up, I'm sure. Laughing about it. You got to win. But what did you really, really win, folks? You wanted to make a mockery of an All-Star game by putting a goon in there because you're pissed at the man, at the league. They tried to stop that, and you eventually still got the win. And now you're happy. What are you happy about? The NHL All-Star Game is still have been made a mockery of. The league is still a mockery. You don't look good as John Scott's in this All-Star Game. Yes, enough of you rallied together and you got the votes because the fans can influence and you got the votes like in other sports. You can vote anybody in. You can vote a write-in vote and vote me in 1 year if you want. I'll go. Throw some skates on. But I'm not a professional hockey player. I'd embarrass myself. You'd laugh and you'd think, oh, I got to win because I'm getting anybody I can into this All-Star Game. And we're not going to see the stars because they don't even want to go or the league doesn't market them. So since everything's a farce, let's just keep on making it more a farce and maybe we'll kill the All-Star game altogether. Well, you're probably going to kill the All-Star game altogether eventually because nobody's watching it. The ratings are embarrassing for it. They're horrible for it. And they're bad in every single professional sport in comparison to the games and the playoffs. It's all exhibitions. They're all getting meaningless. The dunk contest is more important and more watched than the actual All-Star game in the NBA. The NFL moved the Pro Bowl to right before the Super Bowl, where the teams going to the Super Bowl can't even send players, and they don't even want to send players, and they're all losing luster. Major League Baseball. The game is most important out of any of them because the winner of the game goes and has home field advantage in the World Series, which I think actually is unfair to the teams and players. The team with the best record should have that. They lost that just to save an All-Star game. And all the All-Star games are dying in some ways. But you're always going to be what you are, really. And you're always probably going to be the fourth major team sport, really. The All-Star games aren't going to gain interest or ratings anyway, really. And putting John Scott in there, does that help you? No. You think someone's going to watch because they want to be entertained by John Scott? If they're watching for John Scott, they're watching because they trolled and they just find this hilarious. The trolls are probably not going to watch. John Scott's not going to bring interest and ratings to the All-Star game. He's not. You're not going to be enjoying seeing him skate up there 3-on-3 slower than everybody on the ice. He's not going to get a hat trick, okay? He's not going to be MVP of the game. This is John Scott with one assist in 11 games. Up and down from the AHL and NHL. Traded constantly. The journeyman. He's a nice guy. Sounds like a nice guy from the interviews I've heard. Haven't met him, of course, but sounds like a nice guy. Sure. Feel bad he was put in that position. Didn't deserve that. I mean, a bullpen catcher in Major League Baseball getting an All-Star starting. No, he doesn't deserve that. He knows what his role is. He doesn't want to take that from Dustin Posey or somebody who deserves it and have to hear that venom and have to talk to Dustin Posey and be like, I'm sorry, I know this should be you, but I'm here and what can I do? I'm sure he would feel embarrassed as well. And that's what John Scott really should feel and probably does deep down. And I don't blame him for getting the attention and maybe getting an endorsement out of this and getting on TV and getting on national networks and trying to get his fame. Sure, take advantage of the trolls. All about that for John Scott. But this is not going to help the All-Star game, folks. Getting John Scott in the All-Star game because you took advantage of the loophole, you made a mockery of the All-Star game, and you said, we're pissed at the league, so we rallied together and voted anybody in. It's not good for the All-Star game. It's not good for the league. It's not good for the product. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for anybody. And the only way it's good for John Scott is his money. It's good for him to make more money and to get more fame. But nobody else is it really good for. It just isn't. It's not going to increase the ratings. It's not going to make anything better. It's not going to make the All-Star game more entertaining. It's probably going to make it worse. And I get that the manipulation tactics of the NHL and the Coyotes trying to sit him down and tell him to bow out. He wouldn't do that. They trade him, send him down. They tried to make it so he can't be involved. And they really were successful briefly. And then the NHL had decayed because of the backlash, where they might not have been expecting. Granted, they probably should have. And they caved. Now he's going to be there, even though he's no longer in the conference. That's all fine. And it was douchebag. And it was crass. And it was cruel. And it was mean. And it shouldn't have been the way it went. Because it, no matter who the fans vote, you got to take the fan vote as what it is. I do get that opinion by many. But I didn't really mind what the NHL did, honestly. Call me the heel. Say this is an unpopular opinion, and I'm just trying to get you mad. That's not what I'm doing here. I really believe I didn't mind it. I did not. And it, even though it was an evil strategy, I would have liked some way where they can get him the money, because I do get that he got the votes and you don't want to screw him out of the money. Get him the money somehow. Sign him a new deal for $90,000 more or something a year. Whatever you can. Find some Daniel said there wasn't a loophole. There got to be something. Find some manipulation tactic in there. Teams do this with contracts all the time. Especially after a trade, you can say to sign and trade for a new deal and give them 90 G's more. Do something. Some bonus incentive. Give him still the bonus incentive that would have happened in his contract if he would have made an All-Star game like a lot of players have. Get him that incentive. Say, here's your money. You got to vote in an All-Star game. You get the incentive. But you just can't play it because you're traded or you were sent down. Because I don't want to see him in this All-Star game, folks. I just don't want to see him there. I don't want to see John Scott in an All-Star game. I don't. I do not. I want to celebrate Dylan Larkin, who many people probably don't know who the guy is. He's 19 years old. He was the first teenager to score a goal for the Detroit Red Wings since Steve Yzerman in 1983. he's the best player in a Red Wing team that's still fighting to be back in the playoffs and have a streak that could go upwards of three decades into the postseason on a marquee franchise in the league. During injuries to star players of Datsuk and Zetterberg, he's been taking this team over. He's been the driving force on some wins for the Red Wings. Dylan Larkin's a sensation. The casual fan doesn't know who he is. He's a U.S.-born Michigan product, now on the Detroit Red Wings as one of their best players. Think about that. That would be like a guy from New York goes up through the New York system, comes up to the Yankees at 19 years old, is their best player, having a Jared Jeter type of run. And the league avoids him, doesn't market him, doesn't have him in commercials, doing nothing with him really, goes to the All-Star game on the luck of the draw, but no one's talking about that because they're talking about John freaking Scott. Is that better for your league? Will John Scott be around in the next few years? Dylan Larkin will. Dylan Larkin could own your league in the next 10 years, along with several other great young players. A lot of young players, a renaissance of young players playing really, really well this year in particular for good contending teams. Didn't used to be that way. It used to be 23, 24. If you're on the Red Wings, you had to be mid-20s to even get on that roster because they would have a stockpiling of Hall of Famers and veteran players, and you couldn't get in there. Now you can. Because players' careers aren't as long and the scoring's down and a lot of negativity going around. Positive end is you get Dylan Larkin. So take advantage of that and market it. And talk about that when you're going to talk about something. But for John Scott to be the conversation, even on just the hockey, even on like the NHL Network and those hockey-fueled shows, that it's not I'm talking about ESPN and Fox Sports, because if it wasn't for John Scott, they wouldn't talk about the NHL at all, and I do understand that. So they're not going to bring up Dylan Larkin. But even hearing about John Scott as the main topic on radio shows from the NHL Network and from hockey entities. Me, what did I do? PensInitiative.com. PensInitiative.com. That's the website. You also got PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, but PensInitiative.com is the website. This is a Pittsburgh Penguin Hockey Talk broadcast. We talk about hockey and the league for this show. And I opened up with John Scott, too. I'm guilty just like anybody else. But that's unfortunate. And it's partly the NHL's fault. Mostly, though, if you want to blame somebody, if you want to blame somebody for how we got this way with John Scott, how we got this far with John Scott, how we got this asinine in the drama with John Scott in the All-Star game, who is to blame? It's you. You people. The buffoons. The yinzers for the Pittsburgh crowd. And if anybody not from Pittsburgh, you're a buffoon. The buffoon trolls. The troll bloggers, some other bloggers out there. There are some bloggers who are intelligent people who are covering the sport, having fun, trying to analyze, trying to do something as a passion for themselves and trying to pursue a career in media or maybe just have some fun separately and don't care about the career. I've done some blogging. I also have a media career separate from this. It's kind of a blend. I get that. But the trolls, not just the bloggers, the trolls are the one that voted John Scott in. And John Scott being there is because of the trolls and the buffoons. Those type of fans. And the trolls and the buffoons and those type of fans are why we had the drama with the NHL and the All-Star game versus John Scott and why the Coyotes and the NHL had to collude and why that was douchebag and that was mean and they shouldn't have done that. And that made John Scott a sympathetic figure and now gets them in an All-Star game they never should be in. And you don't market any of the actual talented players. You're marketing and talking about John Scott in an All-Star game that's struggling to gain any interest in the first place. Who is to blame? The trolls and the buffoons are to blame. You listening are to blame. When you're clicking and you're sitting there and you're voting for John Scott for an All-Star game, if your reasoning for voting for him is this is funny or it's a joke and I'm making a mockery of a league, then I don't want to hear how you want to watch him on a 3-on-3 because you think him being a little bit slower can give him this advantage over this play and do this and that. And I don't want to hear that analysis. You're full of crap. You were doing it off of a mockery. You were doing it off of a joke. You were trying to make fun of the league. And I'm kind of glad you did in a sarcastic way. But you're to blame. You're to blame. And it's not good for anybody. I don't want to see John Scott in this All-Star game. I wish he could have got the money another way. I feel bad that what went on. I don't want to embarrass him. Sounds like a nice guy. Go ahead and take advantage of the spot if you're him. Cody is the NHL. That looked ugly. It really, really did. I understand the venom and the hatred and anger towards them. But we never would have been here if the trolls and the buffoons didn't get together and galvanize, for one of my favorite vocabulary terms, to get John Scott, the goon of goons, the one assist in 11 games, the up and down minor league to professional major league player that he is, in an All-Star game. I don't want to see John Scott there. You deep down don't want to see John Scott there. John Scott shouldn't be there in that All-Star game. And the person to blame for the reason why John Scott's in that All-Star game is the Buffoon, trolls, and you. That has been a rant brought to you by Radio PI and PennsylvaniaShow.com, DK and Pittsburgh Sports, and Dr. Sheeler. I don't know if they want to sponsor my rants, but either way, they're doing it inadvertently. So thank you for providing me an outlet to rant. A rant sponsored by everybody and fueled by the vigor that is Pineapple Juice and Mike J. Austin. We, though, are going to close this one, put a bow here. Thanks again to Daniel Freeman of WFAN, CBS affiliate in New York. Going to have him on the show again to talk some more Penguin, talk some more Islanders, talk some more hockey, and maybe in a postseason series preview that one going towards the spring. Go to the website, PennsylvaniaShow.com. Also go to the website, PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, for the Pirates and Steelers coverage that will continue in addition to the Penguins on PennsylvaniaShow.com. Hit us up on iTunes as well as Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Find me on Twitter at MikeOsti11. Find Daniel Freeman on Twitter of WFAN, the fan, CBS affiliate in New York, at Bordown Howitzer. So at Bordown Howitzer, at Bardown Howitzer. So he includes Howitzer there. Kind of that's the moniker of my co-host on the Howitzer and Buzzsaw Show, which is another podcast I do on Adventure. So, hey, I'm even going to be more a fan of his Twitter handle. I talked to him much on social media. Didn't really look at that Twitter handle, but yeah. So, at Bardown Howitzer for Daniel Freeman of WFAN, the fan in New York of CBS. And I'll even plug myself. Why not? Also, check out the Howitzer and Buzzsaw Show, which can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio. Go up to my Twitter to find a link to that main page of that podcast, and all sports, entertainment, asinine, fun, and analysis. You all get it there. Also, that show is now on the Pittsburgh Podcast Network, PittsburghPodcastNetwork.com. So that is it for us and this edition of Radio Gold here on the Pennsylvania Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network.